Check, 1, 2. Check, 1, 2. Check, 1, 2, 3.
Testing. Good morning. It's good to see you all here today. We want to welcome you all to North Hollywood FUMC. It is a beautiful Sunday morning. I am here to invite you to fill out your friendship pads in your pew, if you'd like to fill one out so we know that you are here. We would appreciate that very much. We also want those of you who have children to know that we have childcare and Sunday school available in the nursery. We wanted you to see that we have all of our information on the back of our bulletin. If you are on social media, feel free to check in on your favorite social media on Facebook, on Instagram, and let them know that you are here worshiping God in our sacred space so that we can find ways to invite others into the Word of Christ along with us. If you have any special needs, feel free to see our ushers today. And we wanted to let you know that today, during our coffee hour, which is out the doors to my right in our lounge, we are having a special appreciative inquiry. So we are going to do a listening process here at North Hollywood, just for me as your new pastor, just to hear where you are, what are your visions, what are your goals, what are your dreams and your visions. So we thank you for worshiping with us, and now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Oh God, you call to us today, just as you called to the boy Samuel so long ago. Gathered here today, we are many different ages, but we pray for the maturity of faith to hear your call and respond to your word. Open our ears and our hearts as we worship, as we work, and as we care for one another. We ask that you would give us courage and integrity to answer your call with the heartfelt words, "Here I am." Amen. If you will now please open your bulletins, we will join together in the call to worship. It's based on the lectionary readings this week. The one who knit us together in our mother's womb is calling us today.
Speak to us, Lord. Your servants are listening.
The one who knows our paths, the one acquainted with all our ways, is here to lead us into life.
Lead us, O God, for we will follow.
The one who hems us in from behind and before is with us in our time of worship.
Bless us, Holy One. Put your words in our mouths, your joy in our hearts.
Speak to us, Lord, for your servants are listening.
I know this is a time of pastoral prayer and personal prayer. I'm asking for personal prayers for family, as I have a whole household of sick kids today. But I invite you. Okay, you have to stop. Please. I wanted to invite each of you throughout the week, if you have special prayers that you would like to lift up. I'm going to switch her so the microphone's not there. If you have prayers that you would like to lift up, you can send them to the office. You can send them to Patty or Nyleen or to Tanya or myself. But as we lift up prayers of the people today, we pray for those who are homebound, and we pray for those who have been trapped in the mudslides. Stop, please. We pray for Human Relations Day. We pray for false alarms, for ballistic missiles. We pray for immigrants and sojourners. In all these people's prayers, let us pray together. Shh, oh my Lord, shh, listen, and God will speak and guide our prayers. God's got us, and God will show us the way. God, you call your people to tasks we would not ourselves choose. Give us the grace to love you enough to follow when you call. You know our weaknesses and have promised to give resources for that which you ask of us. We praise you for your generous care. Like Samuel, let us say, "Here I am." God of surprising light, here we are. We are surrounded, O God, with people who need to hear the story, people who need to meet the one from Nazareth, Jesus, our God. Make our places of worship places of hospitality and welcome. Make our words and actions, actions of invitation. Like Philip, let us say, "Come and see." God, a surprising light, here we are. Let us take a moment to be in silent prayer with you, God. Oh God, in this confidence we pray. We pray for the people of this congregation. We pray for those who suffer and those in trouble. We pray for the concerns of this local community. We pray for those caught or killed in this week's mudslides. We pray for those without warmth or shelter in the cold and in the rain. In this confidence, O God, we pray for the world, for its people and its leaders, for those who have felt threat of nuclear missiles, for the earth that you have given to our care, all of us affected by global warming, whether they be in places where there's extreme cold or extreme heat. In this confidence, we pray, O God, for the Universal Church, for its leaders, its members, and its mission, in communion with the saints, in the words that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
When the weight of all my dreams is resting heavy on my head, and the thoughtful words of help and hope have all been nicely said, but I'm still hurting, wondering if I'll ever be the one I think I am. I think I am. Then you gently remind me that you made me from the first, and the more I try to be the best, the more I get the worst. And I realize the good in me is only there because of who you are, who you are. And all I ever have to be is what you made me. Any more or less would be a step out of your plan. As you daily recreate me, help me always keep in mind that I only have to do what I can find. And all I ever have to be, all I have to be, all I have to be, is what you made me.
I don't see the kids yet, so we'll do our mission moment.
The North Hollywood Interfaith Food Pantry is the major emphasis of the mission team this month. We are collecting canned soup for the pantry, and we are going to make a lot of sandwiches for the pantry. But what is the pantry, and how can you help? The pantry is an all-volunteer project to feed the hungry in the East San Fernando Valley, run by a coalition of 2 Jewish temples and 10 Christian churches. Since March 13th, 1983, that's 34 years ago, they have been distributing bags of non-perishable foods twice a week. For all of those years, the distribution site has been a small, unneeded building at First Christian Church at Moore Park in Colfax. And the storage and packing area has been in the basement of Temple Beth Hillel on Riverside Drive, just west of Laurel Canyon. I'm not sure when this church joined the coalition, but I became a part of this congregation in 2002, and we were already members then. The only paid worker is a security guard who works at the distribution site on those mornings when to handle parking and crowd control. More than 100 volunteers do the hands-on work of keeping the pantry operating. Each congregation supports the pantry by donating food and money and providing volunteers and a representative to the pantry board, which meets monthly. I have been our church's representative to the pantry board for several years. Food for the pantry is also collected by schools like the Wesley School, community organizations, and individuals. Some free or low-cost food is obtained from the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank, but some of the food must be purchased at grocery stores. For this, the pantry depends on monetary donations from individuals, private or public groups, and foundations. Donations can be made via the pantry website on the internet. At Temple Beth Hillel, volunteers pack doubled paper grocery bags with one can each of soup, tomatoes or tomato sauce, fruit, vegetables, tuna or chicken, beans, plus peanut butter, packaged pasta, packaged rice or beans or potatoes, and a bag or box of hot or cold cereal. There are transportation teams that transport the bags from Temple Beth Hillel to First Christian Church on Sundays and Thursdays. Each bag contains approximately 13 pounds of food, which should feed a family of four for 2 days. At the distribution site, other items are added to the bags, such as bread, cookies, rolls, etc. Whatever can be gleaned from local markets by the bagel brigade. And also fresh produce that has been picked by volunteers from fruit trees that have been registered with Food Forward. The food bags are distributed every Monday and Friday from 7 a.m. until 1 p.m. Wendy Welch from our congregation helps with the Friday morning distribution. Approximately 130 bags are distributed each time for a total of 13,300 bags in 2017. There are also special bags prepared for the 40 or so homeless clients. These bags contain things that don't require cooking, cans with pop-top lids, and sandwiches that are assembled by the various congregations, like our PBJ team that prepares at least 150 peanut butter and jam sandwiches on the third Thursday of every month for distribution the next morning. The cold cut sandwiches we are preparing next Sunday will be distributed at the Monday distribution following that Sunday. Volunteers are always welcome for sandwich making. At this church, the second Sunday of every month is designated as Mission Sunday. On that day, we ask you to bring non-perishable foods and brown paper sacks and place them in the bag in the bin on the table outside of Boyer Chapel. We particularly urge you to bring foods that are high in protein, like peanut butter, tuna, chili, or beans, because protein is what is most lacking in diets of hungry people. But no glass jars, please. It is also suggested that you use one of these blue mission envelopes, which can be found in the back of the pew in front of you, to make a donation in the offering plate that goes to the pantry or one of the other mission projects. You can write on the envelope if you want your money to go to a specific cause. There is a very easy way for you to support the pantry. If you shop at Ralph's or Food for Less, even just occasionally, and you have a Ralph's card, once you register your card, to benefit the pantry. A small portion of the amount you spend will be sent by Ralph's to the pantry, but it won't cost you anything. It is a part of their community contribution program. Please see me today or any day for written instructions on how to register at Ralph's, and I can provide you with a Food for Less card if you shop there. Also, if you have fruit trees on your property and can't harvest them yourself, or if they produce more fruit than you need, you can sign up with Food Forward. They will send a crew to harvest your fruit and will deliver it to the pantry if you designate the pantry as the beneficiary of your fruit. You can see me for how to sign up with Food Forward. Please register your Ralph's card to benefit the pantry and make it a habit to bring non-perishable high-protein foods and or a monetary donation on the second Sunday of every month. And please bring lots of cans of soup for our Super Bowl Sunday collection. It will be interesting to see which conference has more fans, the NFC or the AFC. We don't know who will win the Super Bowl, but we do know that hungry people who come to the North Hollywood Interfaith Food Pantry will win if we can provide them with nourishing soup and other food. Thank you.
Come on up. You'll see.
How are you?
Good.
You can help me. Daniela will probably help me. Come on up. Have a seat.
Good to see you all. Good morning. So, a friend of mine was telling me about this amazing kettle corn. And I was like, okay. And she goes, well, because I know that, you know, Norman loves popcorn. And he does. He eats like two huge buckets at the movies every time. If he could eat three, if they'd let him, then he would. And so she's like, this is just amazing stuff. And it's so yummy. And it's sweet. And it's salty. And it's perfect. So I'm going to have Daniela open it and then put it in little cups for you to taste. Because I brought some to share to see what you think. Do you like popcorn? Nobody's allergic to popcorn, right? Parents, tell me what's happening right now. Okay. I just put a couple. And Henry, you try it first and tell me what you think of it. Do you like popcorn?
Yeah.
Okay, give it a shot. Oh, yes, here we go. Let's pass it down. Hold that. Okay, taste it for me. Tell me what you think so far.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. Hey. So far, so good. There you go. You hold that. What do you think?
It's good.
See? I'm so glad that she told me about this so that I could share it with you. And I have a question on while we were eating the popcorn. On Tuesday, when it was raining really heavy, does anybody remember the heavy, heavy rain? Did anybody see the rainbow? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Like, I have a picture of it. Here, Josie. I have a picture of it on my phone, and I like shared it on Facebook right away because it was out here in the courtyard and it was so pretty. Did you see this? Yeah, did you see? I know. Look. I know. Woo. It was right outside. But then Norman beat me and then took this picture from his work. Can you give it to Jackson? That's from his work at where his work is right outside the tram depot. Look at this rainbow. Look at this rainbow. I know. I mean, look at this. I mean, that's a big one. He got the whole thing. It covered all of Burbank. So I have a question. Have you ever had something that you were really excited about and you wanted to share it with people? Like what? Maybe it was you did really well at school. Is it a new game or a stuffed animal? Who's into Minecraft? Anybody? Okay, I don't know what it's about, but is there anything really exciting and you want to share it with people?
They just created birds in Minecraft?
I don't even know. They created birds, but it's exciting, right? Mm-hmm. So in a story that is in our lectionary reading that the grown-ups are reading, it's about Philip, who's one of the disciples of Jesus. He eventually becomes one. He actually met Jesus in person and was so excited he wanted to share it with anybody that he could. Now, they didn't have social media. He couldn't post, yo, I met Jesus, everybody. He couldn't do that. But he tried to find the closest friend that he could nearby, and that was Nathaniel. He's like, this is the one that Moses wrote about. This guy is Joseph's son. The prophets spoke about him. I mean, I've met Jesus. And Nathaniel's like, son of Joseph, he right away just kind of dissed him. And he was like, you mean Nazareth? Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. And he's like, just come and see. Just come and see for yourself. And Nathaniel was so amazed, he became a disciple of Jesus. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to share popcorn that is tasty. Is it good? Yeah, I'm so glad that I know about it, Whole Foods. I'm so glad to share a rainbow with everybody. I'm so glad to hear about the birds on Minecraft. If we're all excited to share these little things with each other, shouldn't we be sharing the love and grace of Jesus, the love in this church with other people? We post all the time as adults. You could see your parents on the phone posting on Facebook ever, posting stuff. You know, they're posted, yeah, see? They're on the phone posting things. We should be posting, inviting people to church. Come make 150 sack lunches with us, right? Come and hang out with us at Sunday school. Lisa does the coolest stuff at Sunday school. Last week you made crowns on Epiphany Sunday. We had a party. We should be inviting people to that. So what I want you to take away today is sharing Jesus, sharing the love you have for this church, and being a Christian with others. Come and see. So let's say a prayer, and if you could repeat after me, let's close our eyes. Dear Father, nothing can compare to the good news of Jesus. Help us to share the good news with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Have a wonderful time at Sunday school. Invite some friends. Enjoy.
Good morning, everybody. Several announcements, as always, that I'm going to call to your attention in a moment, but I always appreciate the ability that I get to say that it's an honor and a privilege to welcome you to worship here at the First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood. Today is Sunday, January the 14th. I wanted to make sure I got the date just right. The office will be closed, of course, tomorrow in honor of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Tabitha Fellowship will meet at 10:30 a.m. in the hand-in-hand room. Then on Wednesday, January the 17th, Boy Scout Troop 18 meets in the Scout Hut just off Backman behind me here. Choir rehearsal takes place at 7:30 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Thursday night, January the 18th at 7 p.m., the PB&J Project will be taking place in the lounge. So come and help make 150 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the needy. Then on Sunday, we'll have another date. I'm going to talk about several things all at once here. Next Sunday's 8:15 service will be led by Patty Kelsey in the Boyer Chapel. And next Sunday is not United Methodist Women's Sunday. It is Sunday, January the 28th, the following Sunday. Now, to the insert. We're collecting cans, as we were just talking about. We've got for the 14th today, 21st, and 28th. Building up to the Super Bowl on February the 4th. And collecting on February the 4th as well. We're trying to collect as many cans as we can. We're trying to collect 200 cans of soup to help tackle hunger for the North Hollywood Interfaith Food Pantry. Also next Sunday, in the same vein, is Cold Cut Cavalry. Not, as I first thought, Cold Cut Calvary, but Cold Cut Cavalry.
It would be fine.
Yeah, I guess it would work either way, right, for the purposes set forth here. So after our gathering in the lounge next Sunday, this will take place in the social hall, and we're trying to put together 150 sandwiches and basically 150 sack lunches. Donations are still needed. Bread, meat, cheese, anything
just
else?
Just the bread and the cheese.
Just the bread and the cheese. But we still looking for donations for those two items. So let's see. I think that covers all the announcements today. The altar flowers. The altar flowers today are given by Hannah Yee in memory of her sister, the Reverend Rachel Yee Kim. So with those things in our thoughts and prayers and our hearts, let us continue with this morning's worship service. Thank you.
Today is Human Relations Day. If you turn on the news or drive around the outskirts of your town, you'll find what Jesus called the least of these. Those living in the margins of society struggling to survive. People like an immigrant teacher in Texas's poorest county being recruited by a local gang. a father struggling for sobriety in Little Rock, Arkansas, an Oklahoma woman recently released from incarceration looking for work. Over and over, Jesus served people like this, embracing them. And that's what we want to model as the people of the United Methodist Church. To continue the ministry of Jesus, we established the Human Relations Day as a special Sunday, which calls all of our churches to participate in helping all God's children to realize their potential. So we are asking if you will support the ministry of Christ among those on the margins. Will you continue to support Human Relations Day? Will you continue nurturing at-risk youth, strengthening communities, self-improvement efforts, and advocating for the oppressed? That's what we're asking for you to do when you support Human Relations Day. It can be summed up by recalling Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan to meet the poor, the disadvantaged, and the underserved at the places where others have robbed them and helped them to recover with the wounds of social inequality. We ask now that you tithe, of course, to the church, but also give an extra tithe today and label that on your envelope, Human Relations Sunday, and we will send that off to the conference. The ushers will now wait upon the congregation for this morning's tithes and offerings.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's reading is going to be from Samuel chapters 1, verses 1 through 20. We're going to do something a little different, though. A biblical interpretation. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called,
Samuel. Samuel.
Here I am.
Samuel ran to Eli.
Here I am. Where you called me?
So he went and lay down. The Lord called again.
Samuel.
Samuel got up and went to Eli.
Here I am. Where you called me?
I did not call, my son. Go, lie down again.
Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called to Samuel again, a third time, and he got up and went to Eli.
Here I am, for you called me.
Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy.
Go, lie down, and if the voice calls again, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.
So Samuel went and laid down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before.
Samuel, Samuel.
Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.
Behold, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever.
Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli, but Eli called Samuel.
Samuel, my son.
Here I am.
What did God say to you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me. Tell me all that he told you.
Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him.
It is the Lord. Let him do what he seems good to him.
As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
How about an amen for our North Hollywood players? Amen. The cold and flu season has struck our household extremely hard this new year, so I thank you for your grace to allow me to be pastor and parent today. Speaking of children, I don't know if I should be proud or a little embarrassed, but the cell phone phenomena has struck both my children. They know how to swipe left, swipe right, scroll up, scroll down. Sure, it's cute when your 11-month-old will pick up your phone and say, "Hello, hello." Clearly, she's mimicking a behavior that she sees in her parents and society and in general. This generation of children has been exposed to the multifunctional uses of cell phones, from video games to videos to FaceTiming grandma and grandpa and their cousins. When Kyra was about a year and a half old, we sometimes entertained her with music videos, and amongst her girl power repertoire of Beyoncé and Katy Perry and Taylor Swift, one of her favorites was Adele's "Hello." Kyra became obsessed with my old flip phone, just like the one that Adele uses in her video. Never mind the prologue of the song was over a minute long. It kept her attention because it contained her favorite part. She meticulously listened and studied the part where Adele was calling her long-lost lover. "Hello, it's me. Hello, it's me," she would repeat, with one hand on her hip and shaking out. She would belt out, "Hello from the other side. I must have called 1,000 times. It's cute when you have a year and a half old. But how many times do you think that God has called us and we refuse to pick up that phone? Or when we have picked up, was it the message that we were waiting for? Let us think on these things. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable in thy sight, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Sometimes there are messages that we receive on our phones that are unwanted or false alarms. Yesterday, each of my family members in Hawaii received a text message at 8:01 a.m. reading, "Emergency alert. Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill." There were no blaring alarms, no tsunami or emergency warning sirens, no fire engines or police stations making noise. They were unusually quiet, actually, at 8:00 in the morning. But unless you had a cell phone, you would not have received that message. Straining to hear if there was any news on TV or on the radio, there was literally radio silence on the subject for 38 excruciating minutes. My sister drove from her condo in downtown to be closer to family. And still, in the time it took her to get there, there was still no explanation of the text. People were hunkered in their bathrooms. Visiting tourists took a pause in their day of exploration to see if there would even be a day of exploration in the tropical paradise. Finally, at 8:40 a.m., it was announced that it was a false alarm caused by human error. For me, having lived in a time when the threat of nuclear fallout has been put on a back burner, I am sad that for today's children, it has returned to our reality. My own family members could barely joke when I texted them hours later to see if they were all right, saying, "Thanks for checking on us now. If the missile attack had been real, we would all be dead, Allison." And I said, "I'm sorry." This gave me an even greater reason to pause and to thank God that it was a false alarm, and how frightening it must have been for people across the island to receive that emergency call. And what It will mean if this happens again. Will they listen? Will they trust? But maybe this false alarm was a warning of preparation. I would hate to think that, but Samuel did receive 3. Today's lectionary included the story of Nathanael's "Come and see," but it also included the story of Samuel's "Listen and learn." The history of Samuel here begins as early as that of Samson did, even before he was born, as afterwards in the history of John the Baptist and our blessed Savior Jesus Christ. They all started with birth stories or before. The story of Samuel introduces him as a child of prayer. Samuel was asked of God by his mother, Hannah. How intimate, what wonders are produced by the word and prayer. If you recall, it was Samuel's mother, Hannah, who was childless, and this affliction aggravated by her rival's insolence, but in some measure balanced by her husband's kindness. Hannah made a prayer and a vow to God under this affliction, in which Eli the high priest at first censured her, but afterwards encouraged her. Then she presented Samuel to God. Flash forward to chapter 3, Hannah fulfills her promise to God, which was literally in dedicating her only child to God, to be under the care of Eli in the temple in Shiloh. This is the same Eli who had rebuked her because he thought she was drunk in chapter 1. Hannah's literal sense of dedicating her child to God, to the church, is how we have more symbolically dedicated ourselves to God through the sacrament of baptism. But back to the story. Today's story is about listening for God's call. In the dark of the night, Samuel didn't wake once, but had to wake 3 different times, as you saw Daniela graciously and gratefully get up 3 times. The voice of God, one that he was not familiar listening for. And it was in each time that the young Samuel thought it was his master Eli beckoning to him. In reading commentary on 1 Samuel chapter 3, Beth Tanner reminds us of the young boy who was sleeping, where that young boy was sleeping, in the room with the Ark of the Covenant. If that doesn't set up the story to be spooky enough already, to hear God calling upon Samuel multiple times, as our good news players interpreted our reading this morning. You can recall that God is quite consistent, even when we really aren't listening to who is calling us. To help you get to know me better, I would like to share my understanding of call with you. And hopefully, eventually, you will share what God has called you to do and be with each other. I'm not sure about you, but I have always related my call story to being that of Samuel. As I grew older, I also related to Samuel's mother, Hannah, too. But that's a story for another day. I related to Samuel because I had always been a child of the church, even down to playing on the church grounds and having youth sleepovers and lock-ins, sleeping under the comfort at the foot of the cross. I think about my call to ministry of that as of Samuel because it was with ease that I may have so easily missed God's call and attributed it to a human instead. I was always affirmed and loved by church people. I thought nothing more of it. I would not have thought that their voices of encouragement and love would have been how God was speaking to me, calling me to serve through each of these people. Yet in speaking of God's call, most people do not often describe it as a major disruption in their lives anyway. Instead, we speak of a quiet, slow awakening perhaps to a life of service or an injustice that needs to be addressed. Like Samuel, we often tell about a period of uncertainty regarding what we are being called to do or be. Also, Samuel needed Eli to explain to him what these stirrings meant. It often takes others in our lives to aid us in understanding the call that God places before us. For me, when God called again, I think I heard the call, but I was certain that I would walk away from it. I was a high schooler, and I was asked to preach at an annual conference at the University of Redlands. When I decided that people were making up their own prophecies and proclaimed that I would be a pastor like my dad, I turned up my nose at that remark, and I thought I had walked away from the call to pastor. What did I know? I was only 17. But God is funny like that. God calling you actually isn't always about you. God often calls us to do difficult things. A part of the role of a pastor among the priestly and pastoral works is to be prophetic and to speak out regarding injustices in the world. Eli's sons are from the priestly line, and it is their birthright to serve in the temple. Yet they had not acted justly. They had used their position for personal gain instead of service to God. Throughout the Bible, God does not always choose the expected one. Remember Jacob. Remember Moses. Remember David. They were all unlikely choices. Jesus called fishermen and laborers to serve as disciples instead of priests and prophets of Jerusalem. Power and position in the church or community do not guarantee a similar place in God's world. All, even outsiders, are given tasks in God's kingdom. It was in that understanding for me that I have felt a strong call and pull towards social justice in all of our ministries. My mentors, who range from my senior pastor in the Cal Nevada Conference, who reminded me to not forget and to continue to tell the stories about justice and to tell the stories of those who have been affected by injustice. To my father, who taught me how to community organize. To even the Reverend James Lawson Jr., the father of nonviolent workshops during the Civil Rights Movement. They taught me to love my neighbor as myself and treat others the way I wanted to be treated. Upon today's Human Relations Sunday and Martin Luther King Jr.'s weekend of service, these lessons have not been lost on me. The last part of this 1 Samuel narrative requires the text to extend to the end of the chapter, which is what happens when you actually answer God's call. Ending at verse 10 misses the most important point of this chapter. Just as moving into the promised land did not guarantee a perfect life, neither does God's call to serve. God's word to Samuel were hard to hear and even harder to speak for others, for they involved judgment against Eli's own children. Like Samuel, Isaiah, and Jeremiah, God's call often involves working to change human systems that are broken, leading one down difficult paths. This Saturday, if you feel so called, join the women across the country and around the world as we march for women's rights, as we march for equality, as we march against injustice, as we march to change the systems of inequality. Like those in which the prophets of old, like Samuel, down to the radical transforming love and power of Jesus. And remember that this march is for whatever we need it to be to make positive change in the world. Women and men, children, young, old, walking together on the road to solidarity. Do you feel called? Maybe after a third invite, you will. And today, we may be a small church, but we can make the world a better place from where we stand as a congregation. Today, I want to hear your dreams, your visions, your aspirations for what you want to do to be the church, to be for each other, to be for the world. So consider joining us for Fellowship Hour and a time of listening and learning, listening for where God calls us to serve. God calls each of us, sometimes when we least expect it, and often to those who least expect. God is always the God of surprises. We as the church need to be like Eli, encouraging everyone to hear the voice that calls them forth into all that they are created to be. We also need to be like Samuel, open to hearing and answering God's call, and at the same time, helping each other to tell the truth, even when the truth is hard to hear. As we close, this spoken word was written by the General Board of Discipleship, inspired by 1 Samuel chapter 3. So let us listen with new ears. Nothing more frightening than heightening the expectation that God will speak. Hearing these days is rare. I don't have any more risks to spare. No need in hanging around taking the chance of being let down by the one who always lifts. Better take matters in my own hands this time. If God is quiet, certainly others aren't. Buy here, pay here, sail here, try it here, go there, sit, stand, sand, slipping through fingers of hope, trying to scope any voice I can. But there is no voice, no choice. When the word is rare, no one could dare suggest I wait. No one could care if I pick my own blessings or if I seek my own dressings to my own arrangements. I'd rather do that than trust. Trusting leaves the possibility for disappointment. Acting on my own will help me to clone my own, similar to the one in my mind. Except it never works. Listening is always the best way. Listening, listening to yes, listening to no more distress, but also listening to no, listening to follow me, trust me, hope in me. Shh, everyone hush. I'm listening this time. I'm taking the bold leap. I'll sit in suspense, listening, even at the expense of my disappointment. I'd rather hear a no from God than a shallow yes from the mess of this world. Shh, I'm listening. Speak, God. You've got me. Amen.